Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How does the Mormon Church choose a new apostle? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On May 30th, 2015, 92-year-old L. Tom Perry passed away, and we've been asked many times, how is it that the Mormon Church chooses replacements once a person does die? More specifically, they often wonder, well, how is a new prophet chosen? Well, there was an article in the Salt Lake Tribune written by Peggy Fletcher Stack. It was published May 30th, 2015, which answers some of those questions, and we thought we would go over some of the things that she has said and maybe answer some questions that many have when it comes to the leadership of the LDS Church.
It says, the Utah-based faith Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has, of course, a dozen members who are seated according to their length of service. The 92-year-old Perry was the second most senior apostle, appointed in 1974, 4 years after Boyd K. Packer, who at age 90 is the president of the body.
Now, in light of what I said about the replacement of a prophet, let me explain what that sentence means. What she is trying to say here is, let's say that Thomas S. Monson was to pass away. What would happen is the first presidency would be dissolved. His two counselors would be absorbed back into the Quorum of the Twelve, which now technically you could say is now the Quorum of the 14. And then whoever has the senior membership among that body, among those 14 men, will be chosen to be the next leader of the LDS Church. So L. Tom Perry, being 92, and because he was appointed in that position a long time ago, right behind Boyd Packer, he would have been second in line to become the president of the church, which means that if Thomas S. Monson was to pass away, Boyd K. Packer, right now, as of this recording, would be the next president of the church. If Boyd K. Packer passes away, everybody just kind of moves up that succession. So that's kind of how it works.
It goes on and says, when a new man, a Mormon apostle, must be male, is chosen, he will take his seat at the bottom of the quorum right after Neil L. Anderson, who became an apostle in 2009 after Joseph B. Worthland died the previous December.
So, as it says, Neil Anderson is what you could literally say is the low man on the totem pole. He has to outlive everybody else if he ever has any hope of becoming the president of the church. The odds of that are probably not all that good if he is chosen as an apostle later on in life. That may not even ever happen. And it doesn't happen most of the time with most of the members of the Quorum of the Twelve. But that's how it operates.
It goes on and says, most apostles are named at the next available general conference, either in April or October, but some have been called at other times. The new apostle doesn't have to come from within the current top church leadership. Apostle Russell M. Nelson was a heart surgeon, and Dallin H. Oaks was a Utah Supreme Court justice.
Now, Dallin Oaks was also the president of BYU, so I'm sure that looked good on his resume as well. But one thing you notice about the leaders in the LDS Church, folks, is none of them are theologians. They're usually all very successful businessmen or very successful professionals. And whether or not they have a grasp of a lot of the theological nuances of the Bible is certainly not a requirement that's probably on that list. So that's really where they get these guys. And you know, that is reflected in some of the things that they say at General Conference, because a lot of the things that these guys say is certainly not supported by the Bible at all.
And that's a good point you're bringing up, and I'm just thinking in my head, I can't think of any BYU professor of religion or anybody who talks about religion at BYU who's ever been accepted as an apostle. So you're right, they're usually professional people, white-collar type people who have been very successful in their fields. It goes on and talks about how apostles are chosen through inspiration by the president of the church, sustained by the general membership of the church, and ordained by the first presidency and quorum of the 12 apostles by the laying on of hands.
Let me explain this a little bit. When it says apostles are chosen through inspiration, of course, if you're a faithful member of the LDS Church, you would think that that inspiration naturally comes from God. Of course, if you're not a member of the LDS Church, of which we certainly are not, we would have to say, well, inspiration from whom? So you have to automatically have that presupposition if you're going to think that these that this choosing is based in this kind of inspiration. Naturally, you'd have to be a faithful member of the church to draw that conclusion.
The next paragraph says, historians have noted that current apostles usually are asked to write three names on a slip of paper. With or without open discussion, a secret ballot is held, and the results are tallied and then forwarded to the church president, who would be Thomas S. Monson. The president sometimes has accepted those recommendations and sometimes not.
You know, that's an interesting thing. This sounds almost like how the Catholics choose a pope. They bring the cardinals in together and they do this vote. And of course, if a certain man is chosen, then the white smoke will come out of the smokestack and everybody knows we have a pope.
You have to think, though, that these apostles are probably talking amongst themselves as to who some of those candidates are. So it might be interesting to see how they decided to put the three names. If this is true, I had never heard of this before, but that they actually have an input by being able to put these names on a piece of paper that would be considered by the president of the church.
It would also make you wonder if the president of the church is the one who speaks with all authority for the church, then why wouldn't it just be Thomas Monson in this case making a decision for everybody? Why would he even need any input from anyone else or any type of a consensus by those that are under him? If he's the prophet, why couldn't God give him the ability to do it if that's the way it's done? See, this is where I would have a question about the whole thing, because I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where we find, now certainly we have in the book of Acts with the lots, but how often did that happen?
Once.
We don't see that ever happening again. That was not really a tradition that was carried on in the New Testament church. In fact, we don't even find in the New Testament context an apostle that was chosen in such a manner. So when they say that they are a restoration of the New Testament, you would think if they were really going to be a true restoration, based on what little we have in the New Testament, why aren't they casting lots and make the decision fall on that? But no, that's not exactly how the Mormon Church does it. So it's really not in a true sense a restoration when it comes to the choosing of a replacement.
The next paragraph talks about what the responsibilities of an apostle are. It reads, all Mormon apostles are seen by members as prophets, seers, and revelators. They also become full-time executives running a billion-dollar enterprise. They oversee vast resources, departments, and tasks. Unlike most CEOs, though, they give sermons in places as different as Arkansas and Argentina. Twice a year, they deliver major general conference addresses that will be viewed almost as scripture by LDS listeners.
Now, that was interesting that she throws in the word almost, that their conference addresses will be viewed almost as scripture by LDS listeners. Well, first of all, according to gospel principles, when they do speak in conference, it is scripture.
Right.
And we also have that statement by Dieter F. Uchtdorf a few years ago, where he said that if you want to hear the voice of God, listen to what's being spoken at General Conference. So if this is really the voice of God that's coming through them, then you would think it's not just almost, it's supposed to be scripture by LDS listeners. Which makes you wonder also, one minute this guy goes from being the average Joe in the Mormon church to where now he can speak with such inspiration in a general conference message that they can assume that what he's saying can be taken as scripture.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit odd, but that's the way the Mormon church operates. But when it talks about they become full-time executives running a billion-dollar business, I guess that's why you probably don't see them really scurrying around to find theologians out there. They need someone who has some kind of business sense, you would think, because that's what they're going to be doing. One thing to consider, folks, is in the next few years, we're going to be seeing, I think, a huge turnaround when it comes to the leadership in the Mormon church. So with L. Tom Perry's passing, I think that's really just going to be the beginning of what's going to be a somewhat regular occurrence in the coming few years.
Of the 14 men that we have right now, 7 of them are over 83 or older this year. And it starts with Thomas S. Monson. Monson's going to turn 88 this year, but he's not doing so well health-wise, which has been reported in the newspaper.
Well, another one that's not been doing very well health-wise is Boyd Packer. And he's going to be 91 on September 10th. And of course, when you start watching them in General Conference deliver their messages as they're sitting down, that's usually been an indication that it's probably not going to be very long before this person is no longer with us. What about Russell M. Nelson?
He's 90 this year.
Okay. In fact, he's actually a day older than Boyd Packer. They were born the same year. Nelson was born on September 9th. Packer was born September 10th. But because Packer was chosen 4 years prior to Nelson to be an apostle in the church, naturally he would have the seniority over Nelson. Well, they have Dellen Oaks. Dellen Oaks, he's not a spring chicken. He's going to be 83 in August. And then M. Russell Ballard.
He's going to be 87 in October.
And we have Richard G. Scott, who's going to be 87 in August. And then Robert D. Hale, who's also going to be 83 in August.
So the top half are probably in the last decade or so of their lives.
Now, a question that does come to us often is, well, when we do see this rapid transition of leaders, do you think that the Mormon Church is then going to change its direction and go away from the traditional understanding of Mormonism to what some Mormons would call a more progressive view? In other words, are they going to be coming more in a Christian direction or in more of a New Testament direction? That remains to be seen. I don't know. What's your opinion on that, Eric?
You know, it is hard to tell. But those younger leaders that they're putting in, it will take probably 20 to 30 years before they get to that top half to be able to make these major decisions.
And when you figure that one of them is David Bednar, when I listen to David Bednar, I don't really hear a lot of progressive ideas coming out of what he's saying. He's pretty traditional in a lot of the things that he has taught.
So what do you think, Bill, would be some of the top ideas that the leadership is going to have when they pick this new person? What does that new person have to have?
That is a great question. I really don't have an answer to that. One thing I do know they're looking for, and this is what they always look for, is whoever's going to be chosen to replace L. Tom Perry in the Council of the Twelve is going to have to be loyal to the system. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means that they're always loyal to the story of Mormonism. Because how much do these leaders really believe? I sometimes wonder.
Right.
But still, the system will go on.
And they're not looking for a renegade either.
No, not at all. They're not looking for anybody who's going to rock the boat. They're going to want someone who's going to fall in line. And no doubt, they will choose that type of a person.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS loved ones or friends with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have links to an active blog site, as well as dozens of articles and videos that will help educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, we can do that too. Contact MRM to schedule one of our PowerPoint presentations at MRM.org or call our office at 801-572-2153. That's 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.